Good morning. I know there's few of us here today, but I think we can do a little bit better than that. Good morning. Thank you. Awesome. Well, it's great to see everybody here. We want to welcome you to the Central Church of Christ. I know we still have a lot that are worshiping with us online. We want to welcome all of you as well. I know we still have a lot of people who are currently recovering from COVID and other illnesses, so we want to continue to remember them in our prayers. I just want to say thank you for all of the text messages and phone calls, the encouragement that I received whenever I had COVID. I appreciate it very much. I'm feeling much better, obviously, now. But it meant a lot, and so I just want to thank you all for that. I know it's going to mean a lot to everyone that's currently still recovering from it if you continue to remember them with your prayers. But it's great to be back worshiping with all of you today. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and open those up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be for the beginning of our lesson today. Today we're going to be learning all about prayer, how to do it, when to do it, and what the importance of it is. The first thing that we're going to be looking at is the practice of prayer. Now, before we talk about how to pray, we must first discuss what prayer is and why prayer is so important. Why is prayer important? Because if God already knows every thought before we think it, then what is the purpose of prayer? Doesn't he already know that we're thankful for the food that we have on our table before we eat it? Doesn't he already know who's sick and who needs healing? Doesn't God already know what issues that we're struggling with before we ask him to take them away? So why do we even have to pray at all? John chapter 16, verse 23 says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name will be granted to you." John chapter 14, verse 13 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified by the Son." And also we see in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." So God listens to our prayers. All we have to do is ask. Now, prayer is the point where faith and action collide, because God knows the thoughts before we think them, and yet God still wants us to pray to him. We need that personal aspect of prayer just as much as God wants it from us. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus talking to his disciples. He's educating them on several things. Now, in the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about offerings and talking about giving, and he mentions the Pharisees and how they give, and they give as if it's this big pompous thing. They make a big deal out of it. Oh, look at me. I'm so high and mighty. Look at the amount of money that I'm giving. And Jesus tries to explain to his disciples that it's not about the outside. It's about the inside. That's what God cares about. And so it goes the exact same way for what we're talking about today. Jesus continues to go on, and he explains about prayer and how God looks at the inside and not the outside. So this bleeds directly into our text today with Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He starts in verse 5. He says, "When you pray, don't stand like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues, and they love to stand on the street corners, and they pray where people can see them. But I tell you the truth, they have already had their full reward. When you pray, you should go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who cannot be seen. Your Father can see what is done in secret, and he will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the people who don't know God. They continue to say things that mean nothing, thinking that God will hear them because of their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him." And then Jesus gives us an example of how we should pray. He tells his disciples, he says, "So when you pray, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come and what you want be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food that we need for each day, and forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And do not cause us to be tempted, but save us from the evil one. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever. Amen." Now, a couple things just to take note of in this passage. The first thing being that God doesn't want our prayers to be some sort of a show. He doesn't want this long, elaborate, scripted performance, but instead he wants something personal. He wants something that comes from the heart. He says to go to your closet, go and find somewhere where you can be alone with God. You can be alone with your thoughts, and you can talk to him face to face. Notice he also says that it doesn't matter if you have a degree in English, because big, long words don't impress God. These long and thought-out speeches, they don't impress God. Your prayer can be simple, and it can be concise. The prayer that Jesus offers up in his example is only 5 verses long, and yet it hits every single key point that you can think of. He praises God's name, he thanks him for food, he asks for forgiveness of sins and not to be tempted, and then he praises God's name again. Now, this morning, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. It's hard to talk about prayer without actually having prayer. So because of the effects of this weekend, the amount of people who are still battling COVID and other health issues, and because of all of the problems that we have going on in our society right now, I think that it is a very good idea to spend time in prayer, but also time in God's Word this morning. So during our lesson today, I've asked a couple men from our congregation if they would come up and offer a word of prayer over a different subject. So this time I'd like to ask Bob Bishop if he would come up and lead us in our first prayer. I'd like for you guys to just take this time right now to be able to clear your minds, try to focus on all of God's love for us, and try to focus on the blessings that we have as we go into this time of prayer.
You will pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the many, many things you've given us. Again, Father, I thank you most of all for Jesus. Father, without him, without whom we would not be here. Father, I thank you so much for all the many things you've given us, all the blessings, our very lives. Thank you, Father, for everyone here this morning. Father, I ask you to continue to bless us. Father, I ask you to help us to always use the blessings you've given us for your glory and for your good. Father, I thank you for this family here at Central. Father, I ask you to help us to continue to grow together as a family, to continue to love one another, Father, and that others will see the love we have for each other, and most of all for you. Father, I ask you to be with everyone here again this morning. Father, I ask you to forgive us. And again, Father, I ask you to thank you for Jesus, for his willingness to come to this earth. Father, thank you for his willingness to leave heaven, to suffer here, Father, and to give his life as a ransom for our sins. And in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
The second thing that we're going to be looking at this morning is the principle of prayer. Now, prayer is a fundamental truth for us and for our belief system as Christians. If we don't believe in prayer, then we don't really believe in anything, right? Prayer is the glue that binds us together. It is the thing that holds us with God and with other Christians. It is the commonality that we all share, that we can all go before our Father together, and we can go before our Father individually. We are all in desperate need of our Creator, and God doesn't answer a rich person's prayer any different than he does a poor person's prayer. Our prayers are all the same. However, it does say in John chapter 9, verse 3, says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God will listen to them." 1 John chapter 5, 15 says, "And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the requests that we have asked of him," or that he has heard the requests that we have asked of him. 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now, all of these verses are basically telling us the exact same thing, that God hears us when we cry out to him, that God is listening to our prayers. And we don't have to worry. It's not like a phone call. You don't have to worry about a spotty cell service. You don't have to worry about paying your bill on time. God's going to hear you no matter where you are, no matter what situation that you're in. He hears your prayers of thanksgiving, and he hears your prayers of grief. Now, if you remember correctly, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have this luxury of prayer like this. If they wanted to talk to God, if they wanted to ask for something, they had to go before a priest. If they wanted to receive forgiveness of their sins, they had to go before someone that would offer sacrifices on their behalf or offer prayers on their behalf. But when Jesus died on the cross, remember that veil or the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and it was opening up the Holy of Holies to anyone who wanted to walk in. So now we have that direct access to God with the Holy Spirit as our mediator, where we can go before Him as often as we need to, as often as we want to, and we are able to pray to God and ask Him for whatever we need. We have direct access to the greatest counselor, the greatest physician, and the best friend that we could ever ask for. And if you're not taking advantage of such an opportunity, then you're severely missing out, because once again, prayer is a fundamental truth for what we believe. Now, when I think of someone in the Bible with a great prayer life, I can't help but think of the story of Daniel. When the entire kingdom has been forbidden to pray to anyone but the king, and anyone who breaks this rule is going to be thrown into the lion's den. And yet Daniel doesn't hesitate to continue praying. He gets on his knees and he prays to God 3 times a day, every single day. And Daniel, of course, knew the consequences of what would happen if he were caught, but yet he did it anyways. And notice, because of his obedience to God and because of his fervent prayer life, God spares him and he shuts the mouths of the lions. Now, that's the kind of prayer life that I want in my life. I want the kind of prayer life that makes other people want to know more about the God that we serve, the God that listens to our prayers when we ask of Him. So at this time, I'd like to ask Danny, if he would, to come up and lead us in our second prayer. Now take this time to clear your minds and focus on your personal relationship with God and try and figure out what kind of a prayer life that you would like as we go into this time of prayer.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the chance to come here and to worship You. Father, You have laid out in Your Word, the Bible, the way that You want us to worship You. And I pray, Father, that we have cleared our hearts and our minds and not come here for entertainment, Father, but to worship You in spirit and in truth, the way that You would have us worship You, Father. And I pray, Father, that You would forgive us when we fail You. And I pray that You would help us, that we would daily search those scriptures, Father, to make sure that we are doing the things that You would have us do the way that You would have us do it, Father. And I pray that everything that we do will come up as a sweet-smelling savor to You today. And I pray, Father, for the strength of prayer in our lives. Father, You are our God, and You sent Your Son to die for us, and He is that priest for us, for that we can go to, Father, and pray for forgiveness. He wants to be our best friend. And best friends talk, Father. And I pray, Father, that we take advantage of that each and every day. Not at specific times, Father, but to be in a prayerful state of mind all the time. Praying to You constantly. Asking Your blessings. Asking Your strength. Asking Your help, Father, because You are everything for us. And we need to take advantage of that, Father. And I pray, Father, that You would hear our prayers today. And I'm thankful, Father, I know that You will, because You are faithful and You are true. And You never failed us and You never will. It's in Your nature, Father. You can't do that. You can't fail us. And we're so thankful, Father, for the fact that You are that way, that You are the I Am, and that You are there for us 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And I pray, Father, that we as Christians would take advantage of that, and that we would reach out to You constantly, Father, asking You for Your guidance, for Your love, and for Your forgiveness. And I pray these things in Your Son's holy name.
The third thing that we're going to talk about this morning is the purpose of prayer. Now, prayer by definition is a petition or words that are spoken to God. We are exercising a personal relationship that we have with God when we ask Him what we want, when we pray to Him for what we need. Now, prayers come in all sorts of different forms, but I'm going to share a couple of the specific forms with you this morning. Prayer specificity is one of the most important aspects of communication, and knowing God's mercy lets us know that the communication requests that we have been given, that we gave to Him, have been heard. The first type of prayer is worship and praise. Now, this prayer acknowledges God for who He is and for what He does, and it does so by showing the love, the respect, and the admiration that we have for Him. Now, this morning, we've already been a part of this. We've done multiple things. We've sang. We've read from God's Word. We've prayed several times this exact prayer right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The second type of prayer is petition and intercession. This prayer is exercised when we're not concerned about our own needs, but rather the needs of others. Now, intercession causes us to internalize God's word, and we exercise His power to change whatever we're asking for, and we believe that that is possible. An example of this would be when Jesus was dying on the cross, and yet instead of thinking about Himself and His own needs, He thought about us. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus calls out to His Father, and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." The third type is supplication. Now, this prayer involves the action of asking or begging something earnestly or humbly by kneeling or bending down in the form of a desperate plea. This is the most humbling of all of the prayer types, and it causes a total surrender of your own will. You have to surrender yourself fully to God and His will. Now, an example of this can be found in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, when we see Jesus in His most vulnerable state. He fully surrenders to God's will. Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." The fourth type of prayer is thanksgiving. Now, this is when we express gratitude for food, for shelter, for family and friends, employment and health. This type of prayer can be exercised in the morning, when you wake up, before you eat a meal, before you go to bed at night, anytime throughout the day. Philippians 4, 4 through 6 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And the final type of prayer is spiritual warfare. This is when we deal with the battles within our own self. And we use this prayer to help guard us against attacks and against Satan, to help us maintain our focus on the true goal, and to receive deliverance. Now, this prayer involves us asking for God to remove obstacles from our own life and help us to fight our own inner demons. 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9 says, So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh. A messenger of Satan came to harass me to keep me from becoming conceited. And three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." At this time, I'd like to ask Eddie Hearn if he would come up and lead us in our third prayer. This time, clear your minds. Try to focus on specific groups of people that you know that are in need of prayer as we go into this time of reflection.
Would you join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this morning in a time of worship, in a time of assembling together in your name. Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of prayer. For times, Father, we can just lay our burdens at your feet. For times that we can share our gratefulness. For times, Father, that we can come to you for repentance and those things in our lives that we need to correct. Father, each day that we go through life, there are things that we don't understand. And Father, you've told us that this would be the case. Father, we pray for patience. We pray for trusting faith in your will for us. Father, we ask for wisdom in these circumstances that we don't understand. And Father, we ask to especially understand and to know the power and the purpose of prayer. Father, I want to take just a moment to look back. 20 years ago, we had those tragic events that took so many lives, nearly 3,000 lives in our country, Father. We want to continue to pray for those families that lost loved ones. We want to continue to pray for those heroes and whatever role they took in those that day. And so many gave their lives for others. Father, first responders, everyone from ambulance to nurses to law enforcement to firefighters, all so many walks of life. They turn and go into the tragic event of that war versus Father instead of running. Father, we continue to pray that we have family members overseas that still continue to stand on that front line and protect this country and protect our freedoms. And the very freedom we have this morning to worship you, the very freedom we have to publicly pray and not have fear of that. Father, I pray that those that are serving in that capacity, that you would hold them in your hands, that you would give them the courage and the comfort while they sacrifice their lives, they sacrifice their time away from their families. Father, we ask that we continue to keep those that work in those fashions in the front of our prayers, and we're so thankful that we have this opportunity this morning to approach you in that way. Father, we ask this prayer in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The final thing that we're going to be looking at tonight, or this morning, sorry, is the power of prayer. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's 1 Peter chapter 5. Now remember, prayer is more than just thanking God for food. It's more than just asking Him to help us out of a difficult situation whenever we find ourselves in one. Not only do we have a God that hears our prayers, but we also have a God that answers them. However, first we must ask God boldly. We must ask God directly for what we need. If we pray for a broad answer, I feel like He answers broadly. If we pray for a specific answer, God answers specifically. I believe that there is power in a name. So when you pray for someone that you know needs your help, mention their name, mention their specific issue that needs to be solved, and ask God to remove it from their life. Once again, I believe that there is power in a name. There's a reason why we end our prayers in Jesus' name, because there is power in the name of Christ. Let's look at what 1 Peter has to say about the power of prayer. Let's start in verse 13. It says, "Anyone who is having troubles should pray. Anyone who is happy should sing praises. Anyone who is sick should call the church's elders. They should pray for and pour oil on the person in the name of the Lord. And the prayer that is said with faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will heal that person. And if the person has sinned, the sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen." If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, go ahead and underline that now. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Elijah was a human being just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. And then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky and landed on the crops again. There is so much power in our requests to God. Now, granted, it's not always the results that we were hoping for. God answers things in His own time. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says wait, and sometimes He says no. But that's part of the thing that we were talking about earlier, the full surrender to God and to His will, which is very important. And we've been praying for a lot of people here at Central for a very long time. And most of you guys here today have been an answered prayer from people here at Central. And I'm sure that there are several of you who know people who are suffering this morning. So at this time, I'd like to just say a quick silent prayer. If you have anyone that you know who is hurting, if you know anyone who needs healing of any kind, just specifically pray for them and lift their name up to God this morning. Explain to God. He already knows, but explain to God what you want Him to do. Ask Him to remove this issue from their life. And then I'll ask Richard Primo, if he will, come up afterwards and lead us in our final prayer. Take your time. Clear your minds. Pray for specific people and their illnesses. Mention them by name and ask God to heal them through the power of Jesus' name. Father, we lift all these silent prayers up to you through the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Richard?
Pray with me, if you will. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you've created. I look forward to any and all endeavors and tasks that are laid out before me today, because I have joy in my heart, because I know you're at my side. I know you're a very loving, giving, and comforting God. And today, I'd like to pray for all those in our congregation and all those throughout the world who have COVID right now. I pray for the Archer family. I pray for Frank Anderson and all those others in our church who have received COVID, tested positive for COVID, and are recovering from it. I also pray for Martha France that she will eventually come off the ventilator and be home again soon with her loving husband. I pray for all those in our prayer list, all those who have been injured, all those who are sick, all those who are having surgeries. It is your will, Lord, please heal those who are sick and injured. Make them well again, Lord, so they can rejoin us here in our congregation where we can all pray together in your name. I pray for everyone who have lost loved ones, in particular my neighbor, Evelyn McDonough, a very good friend, very close friend. May you please wrap your arms around her husband, Jim. Give him the comfort that he needs, so that he can get through this period of grief. I pray for all those who are traveling on this during this weekend or who have been out of the state. May their journeys be fruitful and uneventful, and that they may return safely to us. And as always, Lord, I pray that everyone on this planet redeem themselves and come to you, so that at the end of their short lives on this mortal plane, they'll have the opportunity to be with you in paradise. And I pray this in your Lord's most holy name. Amen.
Now, I don't know what your prayer life looks like this morning. Maybe you don't feel comfortable praying because of things that you've done in your past, and you're worried that God isn't going to look at you the same way, or you're too scared to talk to him. Maybe you don't pray as often as you would like to, and you would like to get back on the right track and get back into the habit of praying more often. Or maybe you just feel like God isn't listening to you because you've been praying for so long for this one thing to be removed from your life, and yet it hasn't. Or maybe you've just stopped praying altogether and you need help to get back to where you need to be. I do know one thing, though, and that is that the creator of this universe, he does hear your prayer. He hears your cry for help. He hears your praise of thanksgiving, and he is with you every single step of the way. He listens to your needs, and he listens to your wants, and he has the power to grant every wish that you could ask to him. All you have to do is ask. I'll leave you with this. John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence which we have before Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." This morning, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, or if we can just tell you more about this amazing Jesus that we serve, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.